Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. It's getting stressful in the Olympics right now in women's hockey. The U.S. trails Canada 1-0 about 4 minutes into the third period. And to talk more about this in the men's tournament, say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, who joins us now. Greg, sorry to pull you away from watching this tense game, but hopefully our USA can get back in this one.
No, I appreciate the break. This sucks. This is terrible. Like, the women, the U.S. women are so exponentially better than the Canadians that this is one of the most shocking developments of the Olympic tournament. The Americans, just to put it in terms we'll all understand, the Americans were better than a minus 450 odds this morning to win against the Canadians. Like, that's the disparity. They've won 7 games in a row against them and blasted them 5-0 in group play. And what you're seeing here is a combination of a lot of players having their worst games of the tournament at the wrong time, and then also a lot of players really failing to execute because they're not ready for the moment. And then on the other side, you've got, I think it's at least 16 Canadian players with gold medals, and then a few with multiple ones, and they're playing like it today. It sucks, man. It's just like, I really thought this was going to be a coronation.
Yeah, I did too. And look, the goal that the Americans gave up was a shorthanded one. They were on the power play and couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, and some not great back checking from Layla Edwards on the play. She kind of unfortunately had a situation where the puck took a funky bounce and she didn't really recover after that to defend on the 2-on-1 down low. But you know, this is a steamroller offensively that for some reason can't use their speed today at all to develop chances. There was a couple times in the second period where it looked like they had some life, and obviously there's still a ton of time left in the third period, but the clock's ticking, and they've really not gotten any super grade A chances on the Canadians quite yet. It's frustrating.
So we'll keep you updated on this. I'm going to just throw it into the universe. While we're on the phone, the U.S. will score. That I'm just going to manifest it.
That's what
I'm going to say. But yesterday in the men's tournament was fantastic. It started with Slovakia thumping Germany 6-2, but then you had 3 overtime games after that with Canada and Czechia, Finland, Switzerland, and then the U.S. and Sweden to set up the semifinals. It's been a fun tournament. It's exactly what everybody wanted with the NHL players being allowed back in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I did say yesterday that leading into the quarterfinals, it did sort of feel like a WrestleMania where the main event makes you forget about how middling the undercard was.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt after group play. But, I mean, the quarterfinals made that all go away pretty quickly. It was an amazing day of hockey outside of Germany not showing up in that first game. It's amazing to think that the Canadians and the Americans are both one bounce away in a 3-on-3 overtime from both being out of the tournament in the quarterfinals, not even like in the semifinals where they could maybe like recover to win a bronze. Like it was really, to quote an old Steven Tyler line, cap dancing on the landmine for both those teams. But they made it out. And for the Americans, I think they made it out stronger. That was a real gut check to give up a goal that late to the Swedes and then come back, and then Quinn Hughes gets the goal in the 3-on-3. I was waiting for them to have that kind of moment in this tournament, and they passed the test.
You look at how things set up now. The U.S. will take on Slovakia. Canada will face UC Saros and Finland. I don't want to, you know, as we say in the South, count the chickens before they hatch, but I feel like the way things draw, it looks like we could get the U.S. and Canada in the final.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the smart money is probably on that right now. Slovakia is a very interesting team in the sense that
scrappy.
They have about a dozen players that were on the bronze medal team in Beijing. So they've got a lot of sort of baked-in chemistry that could be kind of problematic for the U.S. if they don't execute well. Finland's a weird one. I mean, the Finns are never an easy out. And in fact, the Finns have won more medals in the Olympics in men's hockey than any other country since the NHL players started going. So this is just what they do. They medal. Right? So like, I still think that maybe this would be a much more interesting game if Sasha Barkov of the Florida Panthers were in it. But obviously he was injured in the preseason and couldn't play for the Panthers or for Team Finland. But I do think they're going to dig their heels in and give the Canadians a game in that semifinal.
Who's someone with the U.S. that, you know, maybe has played well but under the radar that needs to step into the forefront that we haven't seen to this point?
Yeah, they've all played well. It's like the premise of your question is like you can't really single anybody out for not having played all that well because they've all played well. But I do think, though, you know, I kind of want more out of the Tkachuk line with Jack Eichel. Like they've done well and they've produced and you know Brady's got a goal and Tkachuk set up some stuff and broke the spirit of Leon Draisaitl in that game against Germany by calling him a bridesmaid. Like it's not as if they've played poorly, but they maybe just haven't been as dominant and as tone setting as I thought they could be in every game. Some games they've showed up more than others. But in these last two games of the tournament, assuming the U.S. gets past Slovakia, that's a line that really has to be their best. And I don't know if we've quite seen their best yet.
You know, the one that I might have said is Dylan Larkin, even though I think he's played well. But I feel like he's someone that possesses, you know, and we know like Austin Matthews and the Tkachuks, as you mentioned. But I feel like Larkin was one that could be sneaky, and maybe he has to this point.
Well, I mean, he scored a goal in the previous game, which obviously really was a key for this team because it wound up being a very closely played defensive grind. I should say, part of that is the Americans deciding not to really play in the third period and get into a shell, which is something they shouldn't do. You know, Larkin, I think if you're concerned about Larkin and want a little bit more from him, Mike Sullivan did something in the game against Sweden that I think will benefit the U.S., which is he put Jack Hughes with him. And, you know, Hughes had been on the fourth line as a winger. He had made Brock Nelson one of the team's leading scorers. And then he got moved up the lineup, and I think that's to their benefit. I mean, Jack has played undoubtedly his best hockey of the season in this tournament and probably deserves a shot to move up the lineup even more. But with Hughes next to him, I think Larkin should do pretty well. And again, like I just talked about, you know, all of the promotion and all of the hype and everything was about the Tkachuk brothers. And I don't think there's any question that the Hughes brothers have been the better brothers so far in the tournament.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. I know the Predators got back on the ice, the ones that are here yesterday to practice. How beneficial is this kind of, you know, week for teams to get back together? They obviously had a break. But to be able to work on some stuff that they haven't been able to because the schedule has been so condensed because of the Olympics, how beneficial is that going to be for some of these teams that have some time to kind of get together?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see what this break does for some of these teams. I mean, there's obviously going to be some players who will appreciate and thrive with the rest, but there are probably some teams that are kind of upset that they had to break the momentum. I mean, like you think about a team like Buffalo, for example, and maybe even Nashville, too, that are just like, we would have rather to keep rolling rather than having this gigantic break in the season. But, you know, listen, it's good to get everybody back. It's good to get everybody, in the right mindset to continue the season. It's a very unorthodox thing to take this level of a break in the middle of your schedule. Who knows what it does? I know for some teams, they're just hoping that their guys come back in one piece, like the Pittsburgh Penguins, for example, who are probably on pins and needles about what Sidney Crosby's health looks like after this Olympic tournament. But it'll be interesting to see which teams react and which teams need a little bit of more runway to get going after the break because there's not much more runway left in the season.
A team I've kind of been curious about in the West has been Anaheim because I think they've punched above their weight a little bit. Obviously, the Quenneville effect and the veteran coach can help that, but they're still a relatively young team. But they won 8 of their last 10 before the break. Do you think that that's sustainable with them, or will some of the lack of experience come back to bite them down the stretch?
What's bit them this season is their team defense, which I at last check still wasn't really where you'd want it to be for a playoff contending team. I think they've been extremely reliant on Lucas Dostal, who almost upset Canada on his own yesterday in that game in the quarterfinals. You know, I think the Quenneville effect that you mentioned is their ability to really get going offensively. I think he's ignited the offense for a number of players in that roster. But ultimately, they're an inexperienced team in the way that they defend. They're probably a little bit over-reliant on their goaltender, but the good news is that he's been up to the task for most of the season.
Greg, it didn't happen while we were talking, so I'm hoping that right after we hang up, the U.S. will score. But 9:42 to go in regulation, still trailing Canada 1-0. But appreciate the time, and let's go USA.
Yeah, I'm going to start filling my bathtub with bourbon and try to forget this game ever happened after it's done. And then we'll see what happens tomorrow in the semifinals.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Thank you. Greg Wyshynski joining us from ESPN. Always enjoy his work, and we'll talk to him next week when the NHL season and the Predator season gets back going again. We'll have more coming from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game.